What an amazing Savior we serve. You know, when I think of the scripture, and I quoted this at the beginning, how excellent is thy loving kindness. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They will be abundantly satisfied by the fatness of thine house, and thou shalt make them drink of the rivers of thy pleasures. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. It has been so encouraging, and I really appreciate what Harold said, that go home and talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, again, it's so easy for us to be full of pride. And I've shared this illustration often, ladies, but I've never seen a cello or a flute or a violin take a bow. Never have. I've been to many concerts, orchestras, never seen them take a bow. They are only the instrument. And they will sit there, and really that guitar has no ability and can do absolutely nothing until our brother picks it up and uses it. And ladies, we need to understand, because we can put people on pedestals, but understand something. It is all of God. It is all of His grace. Every breath we take, every beat of our heart, it's all of Him. And so remember to give the praise and the glory where it is due. God alone deserves exclusive devotion. God alone is worthy of our absolute praise, and He will not share His glory with anybody else. And so we're going to go to prayer here. This last message is, the Lord has worked my heart, is called the sacrifice of praise. And I wanted to end with that. I believe that's what God wants. But I just wanted to encourage you, for those of you who don't know, you were here in the session yesterday, that and I had shared with you how I pray and I say, Lord, fight for my children. And God chose to answer the prayer of what I've been praying for weeks now, right after the session yesterday. And I had wondered, I said, you know, because I had prayed, I said, Lord, you know, your glory, I says, please show yourself strong. And I get this text, and my sweet Sarah says, Mom, God answered exactly or specifically the way I had prayed. Specifically. And I said to her, I said, sweetie, I said, you know, I had just shared about fear and the struggles, and that I had, how I pray that God will intervene for my kids and fight for my children. And God chose to answer the prayer. The call came through right after that. And I sent it to both my daughters, and my youngest sent back all these little smileys like this, you know, because I tell my kids all the time that I pray God fights for them. And Sarah sends me, heart, 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 you know. So, you know, don't we serve an awesome God? How good He is. Let's open in prayer. Precious, precious, wonderful, merciful Savior, Abba. Lord, as was just sung, we love You. We love You. We treasure and adore You. We owe You absolutely everything. Lord, we want to exalt and bless, as the psalmist says, I will extol Thee, my God, O King. I will bless Thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless Thee. And I will praise Thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. Your greatness is unsearchable. And Lord, I just pray You'd speak. I desire to exalt and magnify You. These women do as well. And as we are in Your word this last time for this advance, I pray Your spirit would have free reign. And I pray that You would do what only You can do. Lord, work in every heart, lift our hearts and our spirit to love and treasure You, we pray in Your precious name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13. As we're going to go to Hebrews 13:15, I want to first quote in Psalm 107, it says that, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." It says that repeatedly. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. He goes on, "Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. We are to declare his wondrous works with rejoicing." And ladies, I want us, as we look at Hebrews 13:15, it's not a hard lesson, but it's one that we need constant reminders of. And so as we look at verse 15 of Hebrews 13, it says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Now, I'm going to break this apart and we're going to take it. And again, I'm going to use other scripture in this. But what does that mean when God is saying, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually? You know, what naturally we tend to do is complain, right? We often accuse God. I have a message, accusation or adoration. Accusation or adoration. "Lord, you don't care. Why have you done this? Where are you? You know, why is this happening?" I often say to ladies, that's the wrong question. We should be recognizing view of God. Who is the Lord? High and lifted up. And what is his plan? It's so easy to complain. Every time I read through the Old Testament and I see the children of Israel, and of course, you know, God does a great work, and then, "Oh, you brought us out here to kill us, to kill our children." And before you get too critical, ladies, we're just like that. Okay? We are. You know, "Well, Lord, why did you do this? And why are you allowing this?" Again, understand your place. But let's look at and take this apart. Thankfulness, praise, extolling, lifting up his name. The scripture goes on and on. "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." I've shared this, to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. So what is the reason for our heart of praise? The first two words, "by him." It is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the reason for our heart of praise. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ has done it all. In other words, it all begins and ends with him. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. "For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Who's given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and through him are all things, to whom be glory forever." By him. Understand, again, meditate upon his character. I have women ask me all the time, "How do you memorize so much scripture?" Ladies, it's not about memorization as much as it is about meditation. And I will take scripture that God is working in my heart, breaking me, teaching me, and I will walk through that. And literally, I will maul on it and walk through it, and I dwell on it until it changes me. Okay? Talked about last night, counseling your heart. Stop listening to your heart. And I will literally, sometimes I'm thinking junk thoughts. Okay? Thoughts that are not of God. And I will say, stop. And I will begin rehearsing truth. And one of the best ways is I go right back to, who is my wonderful Savior? And you, if you are a blood-bought child of God, hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Do you understand that, ladies? If you are a saved child of God, you were dead. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, among whom we all had our conversation or conduct in times past, fulfilling the lusts of the flesh, the desires of the flesh, and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. That's what you deserved. But God. You know, somebody came up and gave me this yesterday, And I'm terrible with names. I would probably remember the face. Ephesians 2, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love with which he loved you, even when you were dead and since has quickened you together with Christ, by grace are you saved. What's my reason for thanksgiving? All of the Lord's grace. He rescued me. Ephesians 1. You've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He has chosen you in him before the foundation of the world that you might be holy and without blame before him. In love, you are accepted in the beloved. You are forgiven. You are redeemed. As we read that biography, autobiography, does that move your soul? Ladies, if those type of truths don't move your soul, something is really wrong. If the cross of Christ and what Jesus has done, it became him by whom are all things and for whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. If that doesn't move you, that he was in all points tempted like as you were, yet without sin, then you need to say, Lord, I need spiritual heart surgery. Do we realize how thankful we must be? And I say, when I start thinking of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, high and lifted up, how can I be anything but thankful? How can we not be anything but want to forgive those who have hurt us? I shared with the ladies this morning and the prodigal children, I said, you know, I will never forget, never, that morning on October 3rd when my husband walked into the room and he said, Carol, he says, I can't do it anymore. He says, the Spirit of God is laid on me. And he said these words to me. He says, it's all true, the things that I have done. And he said, I'm the dirt of the dirt. He says, I've shamed the Lord. He said, I'm better off dead. And he asked me two questions. He said, will you forgive me? And ladies, when I go back to by him, when I consider the cross of Christ and the Lord Jesus Christ, I said, how can I not forgive you? You see, my sin of not loving my husband, of not being obedient and submissive to him, was every bit as wicked in the eyes of God as what he had done. Oh, no, it's not. I said, yes, it is. God hates it. And then he asked me, he said, are you going to leave me? And I said, Jeff, when I married you, it was for life. One man, one woman for life. Till death do us part. Now, there had to be legal ramifications, but it took a while, but over the years, as a widow and raising my kids through all the trials, I've had to say, Lord, I choose to thank you. I choose to thank you for the 8 years that you gave me with this man. I choose to praise you and thank you. Why? By him. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason for a heart of thankfulness, remember who you were, dead in sin. Do you know that you've been turned from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God? You understand that? Focus, focus, focus. When you're complaining, ladies, when I'm complaining, I am questioning God's goodness, his sovereignty, and his care. And I am grieving and angering the Lord. You read through your scripture, God hates complaining, because who am I complaining against? This person. Always goes back to the Lord. The reason. Excuse me. What is the response? By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. The response is a choice to offer every part of you. I beseech therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You offer everything to him. Because again, Who are we talking about? Hebrews 13:20 says this. Now the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. What are we talking about here? He's the God of peace. And he is the shepherd. It's not hard to give myself and offer ourselves to the shepherd. Ladies, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not. I lack nothing. I love what one preacher said. When you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you have everything. And when you have everything, you have need of nothing. And he goes on in that passage in verse 20. He brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, redeemed. And he says, make you perfect in every good work to do what? His will. What am I saying when I offer up to the Lord? I'm saying what my Lord Jesus Christ said, not my will, but not my agenda, not my plans. So what is the response of a heart of thankfulness? Absolute abandonment and surrender. I'm going to read you a quote here. I love this quote. It's powerful. Dear loving Lord and Heavenly Father, I offer up today all that I am, all that I have, all that I do, and all that I suffer to be yours today and yours forever. Give me grace, Lord, to do all that I know of your holy will. Purify my heart, sanctify my thinking, correct my desires. Teach me in all of today's work and trouble to respond with simple trust, honest praise, and instant obedience, that my life may be in truth a living sacrifice by the power of your Holy Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, my master and my all, Elizabeth Elliot. That sums it up to me. I prayed that prayer of surrender a year before my husband died, when God brought me to that place of brokenness. And I was trying to run my own life, and I was trying to do things my own way, a very bitter, contentious wife who did untold damage, an angry wife. And God, through his word and in the Gospel of Luke, if any man will come after me, and hate, in other words, not his father, his mother, his sister, his brother, his own life, he cannot be my disciple. In other words, my love for God had to be so great, everything else paled. And if you don't take up your cross, in other words, you die to your will, to your agenda. The man who took up his cross is going to die. And you follow him. And when God brought me to that place of complete surrender, and I acknowledge my Christian life is sick, that was the prayer I prayed. It's all yours. And there are times when I'm really struggling and I will say, Lord, I really don't want to do this anymore. And the Lord will say, do you remember? Yes, Father. Not my will, but yours. The reason for our sacrifice of praise, our precious Savior. The response, it's all him. I give you everything. Everything. What's the duration of a heart of thankfulness? By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of God to God. What? Continually. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning me. There are no accidents for God's children, only divine appointments. One of the things I've tried to teach my kids, and I say all the time, disappointments are his appointments, or love's veiled appointments, but they're hard. In 2016, when God, I made the decision to leave Guam. Part of that was because I had been diagnosed with cancer, and all of my, in 2015, my medical care was in the States. And when we left, I had thought that God was going to do things a certain way. I had been asked to come out to Bob Jones University to be the women's counselor, but God, through different ways and the way that he worked circumstances, that all fell through. And so here I am, and we had basically, when I moved to Guam, had sold just about everything. And they provided an apartment there and furniture, but when I came back and Sarah came with me, she'd been in Romania 3 years and then in Guam 3 years, she came back with me, we basically, all we had was an apartment. No furniture. We had a couple of things that we, you know, that I had shipped, but boy, when you're shipping 10,000 miles, it's not cheap. And we had no jobs. We had to go out and pound the pavement. Y'all, some of you don't know what that means, do you? Okay. And when we got back there, I remember my son came and drove me and basically helped me. And you say, well, what did you move in? We didn't have anything per se except a couple of some boxes we'd gotten. And I'll never forget that night we went out to Walmart, got two air mattresses, got some cereal, some milk, some plastic cups, and that's what we did that night. The next day, you know, again, this is how we lived. And then finally, we went to Walmart, got three stools, and my youngest daughter, Rebecca, put them together. And we looked for work. We looked for work. I was able to get a job at Penny's, and then I got a job at Cracker Barrel. And people said, what are you doing? What are you doing? You left the ministry, and I didn't leave the ministry. I believed God was calling me at that point to leave Guam. But I'll tell you, at that point, you talk about doubt, and I didn't want to give thanks. I said, what did I do? What, did I have rocks in my brain? Why did I even leave Guam? I mean, I had questioned, yet I had prayed, and God was very clear. And you know, people said, how can you work at these places? And I said, you know what? It's all ministry. I'm serving people regardless of where I am, and I want to reflect Christ. And, you know, Sarah went through the same thing here. She'd been, in Romania, and she'd been teaching K-4, and now she finds a job in a daycare. And you know what? We went out, and we bought a table from Wayfair. I mean, we got beds out of a box, and basically for almost 2 years lived with very little from paycheck to paycheck, and God was continually humbling us. You know, I had to work some late nights. And then God opened a door to work at the hospital in the nutrition department, but it was tough work. And then I had 12-hour shifts, and they said, you know, at the hospital, our policy is every other Sunday you have to work. And I was covering those floors, doing almost 9 miles a day on my pedometer. And I would come home, and I was so exhausted that I could barely even function. You know, I left the apartment at 6 a.m. I wouldn't get home until almost 8 p.m. and had to turn around and do the same thing the next day. And I'll tell you, during that time and the scripture, continually, and I thought, Lord, I don't feel like being thankful. This is not the way it was supposed to be. And then I had to say, close your mouth. Because God was teaching me and walking me through that school of humility again. He says, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to provide for you. And it was tough, and it was discouraging. And as I shared, for both Sarah and I, especially for her, it was one discouragement after another, one human disappointment after another. But in the midst of all of that, God provided both of us with an oasis. You know, that's a book I don't have. I'm going to get that book, that devotional. I just thought about that when I said that, oasis. For me, you know what my oasis was? God provided a wonderful local church. I am still a member of that church, even though I'm on a teaching assignment in Wisconsin. I love my local church. I love the people of it. I love the pastoral staff. I hear the word of God every single week. That was an oasis. I absolutely loved my local church. And the same thing with Sarah. She helped in a church plant. And we had to learn through all of this continually. Carol, be thankful. And I said, Lord, regardless of what you want to do, I says, if you want me to work at a Penny's or at a Cracker Barrel, if you want me to see these patients, is whatever you want, Lord, I'll wash toilets if you ask me to wash toilets. Because there are no hot shots in God's kingdom, only servants. And then, you know, this is going on for almost 3 years. And I'm on, you know, I'm on, and Debbie is too. I think it's the same medication that we're on. And you know, I had to learn, adapt to it. Some people ask me, and they, when they see me, I'm either hot or cold. And I says, well, my thermostat's broken. I said, I'm either burning up or I'm freezing, you know, and the emotions sometimes. You know, but again, bring every thought captive. And then last year, I get this phone call. Will you come and teach science? We're starting an international boarding school, private public school. Where did this come from? God made it very clear that that's what he wanted me to do. And people say, well, what are you going to do after that? Well, God actually has four open doors for me at this point. And one of them, I realize he's closed. And they say, what are you going to do? I says, I don't know. The Lord hasn't told me yet. But I'm going to praise him. You know. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. We prayed for several of you. Some of us have prodigal children. Some of us, may have terminal diseases. I don't know what your needs are. God does. I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cries by reason of their taskmasters, and I know their sorrows. Now, therefore, I will come down. You know what? God sees every need. God knows every heart, and the Lord will always do that which is perfect. And when people will say to me, you know, what do you believe God's going to do for your mother and for your son? And I says, he'll do what's right. I said, but I pray, I never lose hope, I never give up. Why? Because my God has no limitations. This is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Well, I'm praying, Lord, you said that you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come into repentance. You will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So I'm praying in your will. And I said, Lord, this is the confidence I have. If I ask anything according to your will, you hear me. And if I know that you hear me, whatsoever you ask, I know that I have the petitions. And therefore, you know, people say, well, your mother's 95. There's no limitations with God. I used to have people say, well, your children are a statistic. I said, excuse me, they are not a statistic. Not as long as God is on his throne. I don't lose hope. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. The joy of faith. I did an Anchor Your Heart conference last year on the joy of faith. That you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I, you know, what Brother Harold said it earlier, but I love this quote. When God wants to do a great work, he starts with a difficulty. When he wants to do an amazing, mighty work, he starts with an impossibility. It's nothing with the Lord. So what can I do? The duration, praise him, praise him, praise him. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for what you are teaching me. Lord, there's a bigger picture. It's not just about me. It's not just about whether you have cancer or whether it's your child or your husband. There's a big picture. God is on his throne. And he is showing himself strong. The reason for our heart of thankfulness, the response, the duration, the evidence. By him, therefore, let us offer to God the sacrifice of praise continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. What is the evidence? Your tongue. We learned about that last night. How many of you, your tongue gets you in trouble? I'm putting up both hands, okay? As he said, you know, the tongue can direct, it can delight, or it can destroy. I will say, Lord, set a watch before my mouth, keep the door of my lips, keep my tongue from evil and my lips from speaking deceit. Open, help me to open my mouth with wisdom and in my tongue to be that law of kindness. Because I, you know, again, what should be coming out of our mouths? The scripture says that we are to be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving submissive and giving thanks. Ladies, if I'm not thankful, I'm not spirit controlled. Let's make it simple. If I'm a complainer and I'm not thankful, I'm not walking in the Spirit. That's an evidence. The fruit of my lips giving thanks to his name. Now, I'm not talking about being phony. There are times that my heart is breaking. And I will say, Lord, this hurts my mom. Her birthday's Monday. Sarah's birthday's tomorrow. And I think that's so precious that God answered this prayer right then. And, you know, it's Monday. I have my mommy's picture right there with my dad, both when they were first married and this. And what do I say? I love my mother. I thank God for my mother. I have absolutely no malice against her. I love her. I love her. I love her. And when I saw her this summer for just a few minutes before everything blew up, I told her, I love you, Mommy. I love you, Mommy. You say, can you give God thanks? Yes. Why? God is doing a work. I don't see it. I may not understand it. My heart is breaking. It's ripping up. But I will praise and extol God for who he is, what he has done, what he will do, and he will bring glory to his name. And because of who he is, I can thank him. You know, when I was diagnosed and found out that I had the cancer, and of course they caught it early, you don't feel like giving God thanks. But the fruit of your lips, you choose. Focus, 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 giving thanks unto his name. I think it was, I'm not sure who said this, but when gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, that man is well near hopeless. I want you to turn for just a moment to Romans chapter 1. What's the danger when I choose to not be thankful? When I, you know, and let me say this, a bitter person is not a thankful person. Bible teaches in Romans 1, and these are scary passages, literally. And our nation is in this, if you want the truth. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven, verse 18, against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who what? Hold the truth. They suppress it in unrighteousness. Why? That which may be known of God is manifest or evident in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are what? Without excuse. You know, people who say that they're evolutionists because of the evidence, I said, uh-uh. Because the evidence is not there. All of the evidence that said shouts creation. When people say that to me, I says, no. I said, you are willingly ignorant. Because you cannot look up at nature, or I should say creation, and not realize this didn't just happen. Ladies, honestly, if somebody comes into your home and sees it beautifully decorated, if they asked you how all this happened and you said, well, about 1,000 years ago, there was an explosion. Seriously. And over time, you know, the molecules of the drapes came together. And then these molecules came together, and now you see this beautiful home. Would anybody believe that? I mean, really? I says, design. I said, if you look at DNA and how it replicates and how it's transcribed and translated, and I walked through the students with this. I says, and this just happened. I said, it's red. I mean, there is a pattern, a template, and as the DNA is transcribed, if messenger RNA is, you know, goes in and is made, and I said, in that process, there are even corrections that are made. I says, that's grace. So there aren't errors. And then it leaves, and it makes a copy, and I says, it binds to something called a ribosome. You didn't know you were going to get a science lesson, did you? And the ribosome goes and reads and brings the transfer RNA, brings the amino acid. I says, and that all just happened? You know, and I said, really, folks? And the students, you know, I had one student come to me and he says, Mrs. Trahan, if energy is not created or destroyed, where did it come from? I says, very good question. I love to answer questions like that. You know, I mean, these kids, they figure it out. And I remember when I was training at a secular university, newly saved, and I walked up to my professor, and I appreciated her honesty. And I said to her, so what are the chances What are the chances that this evolved on its own? I'll never forget her. She turned around and she says, I know. There were a bunch of us there. She says, the chances of the simplest protein even being assembled are 10 to then, she said, at some astronomical number. And she says, and there's no way we even have enough time. No way. You know, and then people, well, there was that experiment where they came up with this, with RNA, a biological molecule. I says, yeah, look at the experiment. I says, first of all, you had somebody who designed it. What does that tell you? There had to be a designer. And I said, plus he cheated. I said, when those, you know, those good molecules were made, and again, I'm not going to go into detail, there were those that were made at the same time that killed the good ones, and guess what he did? He removed the bad ones. I said, that's cheating. I said, you can't do that. As you're saying, it all happened from random chance. So what happens? Look at verse 21. Because when they knew God, they know. There is one, I forget his name, maybe it's Hawking or something, who died recently, and he died, to the best of my knowledge, an atheist, and I thought, he's not an atheist anymore. And that's tragic. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were, what does it say? Thankful. They weren't thankful that this is their creator, this is their God, he has made them, but instead they fabricated their own imaginations, their foolishness, they became vain, and their foolish heart was darkened. And this is the truth with so many today, professing them to be wise, they are what? They became fools. And what did they do? Change the glory of the incorruptible God unto an image made like unto corruptible man. Basically, that's what evolution is saying, that we evolve from all of these creatures. Their foolish heart is darkened. Ladies, if we refuse to be thankful, the result will be a vain imaginations, a dark heart, and we will go down a spiral. And ladies, it's dangerous. It's dangerous. So what's the evidence of a heart of thankfulness? It is the fruit of your lips giving thanks. Your reactions are showing. Ask yourself, and this is convicting. It's convicting for me as well. In my speech, in the last week or last day, have I been thankful or have I been complaining? Now, Brother Moore gave you a comparison. You can outwin, and I remember this statement: comparison kills contentment. Don't play the comparison game. God has chosen for you to be in exactly the situation you were in, unless you're making a choice, a sinful choice. But the parents that I have, no mistakes. You know, people say, well, I married the wrong man. No, you're married to him. He's Mr. Right now. Well, no, I need to divorce him and go back. No mistakes. Ladies, would others identify you as a thankful purpose, as a thankful person? Are there areas that reveal ungratefulness? By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually. The fruit of our lips giving thanks unto his name. Now, again, I'm going to just read you some quotes here as we finish up. Like David, we must become enraptured lovers of God who choose to worship, adore, and thank him. And ladies, that's as was sung by Christy. And I hope every single one of you in here, that is the passion of your heart. Lord, am I a thankful person? Am I one who worships, who adores, who treasures you, who hungers and thirsts for you? You know, I've said this before, God's people are hungry, but we're not starving. And we need to hunger and thirst for him and his righteousness. God does not reveal himself to the casual observer, but to the diligent and passionate seeker. You read Proverbs 2. Receive or treasure his words. Hide his commandments within you so that you incline your heart unto wisdom and lift up your voice unto understanding. If you cry after judgment, discernment, if you seek it as silver, if you search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. What doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, and to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul? He goes on to say, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Him shalt thou praise, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name. He is thy God, and he is thy praise, who has done for thee these great and mighty things that thine eyes have seen. With the loss of the concept of majesty comes the loss of the art of worship. Our worship must be filled with reverence. This is A.W. Tozer, probably one of my favorites. An awesome wonder about God. The only worship that is acceptable is that which is in complete harmony with the holy character and nature of God. After all, it's God whom we're worshiping, not ourselves. Our pastor is doing a whole series on worship, and one of the things he says, we need to search the scriptures and find out what pleases God, not what makes me feel good. It's not about what makes us feel good. It's, does this worship please and glorify God? It's all about him. Worship is humbling, but it's also delightful, invoking a sense of admiring awe and astonishing wonder. Astonishment and wonder are always found in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I love this quote from Tozer. Adoration is white heat made incandescent with the fire of the Holy Spirit. And it is to love with all the powers within us. It is to love with fear, wonder, yearning, and awe. Let me just give you a couple more quotes before we finish. O love divine, how sweet thou art. When shall I find my willing heart? All taken up by thee, I thirst, I faint, I die to prove the greatness of redeeming love, the love of Christ to me. Charles Wesley. God is so vastly wonderful, so utterly and completely delightful that he can, without anything other than himself, meet and overflow the deepest demands of our total nature, mysterious and deep as that nature is. Jesus, thy boundless love to me, no thought can reach, no tongue declare. Oh, knit my thankful heart to thee and reign without a rival there. Thine holy, thine alone I am, be thou alone my constant flame. Oswald Chambers, our whole life is to be overmastered by the Lord Jesus Christ. We have no end, no aim, no purpose but his. We have been brought into a vivid, personal, and overmastering relationship to Jesus Christ. We are devoted to a person. We are absolutely Jesus Christ. We see nothing else. We live for nothing else. Lord, do thou turn me all into love and all my love into obedience, and let my obedience be without interruption. Inflame my soul with a passion for thee. That is the normal Christian life. And as Dr. Les Olola used to say, so many Christians live at a subnormal level that the normal Christian to them is abnormal. That is the normal Christian life. And I'm going to end with a statement of Paul, with his passion. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, refuse, rubbish. Dung. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Not as though I'd already attained or already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I have been apprehended of Jesus Christ. Brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting what's behind, reaching forth unto what's before, I press toward the mark for the prize of high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Ladies, do you have a heart of thankfulness, a sacrifice of praise? Is your all on the altar? As you leave today, do you love him? Are you thankful? And can others look at you and say, tell me about your Jesus? tell me how you seem to love him so much. Is he that wonderful? Let them see a godly Jan, that you've been in the presence of the Lord. Father, we thank you so much for this prayer advance, for the opportunity to be in your presence, to hear your word. You are so worthy, Lord. May we be women who love and adore you, and may we be thankful women, the fruit of our lips, continually giving thanks to your name. A heart overflowing with thankfulness, with gratitude, with praise, because you alone are worthy. And one day soon, we will be in your presence, and all of eternity will have to thank you and praise you for who you are and what you have done. We pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.